Hey girls, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Very good, very good. Right after Labor Day weekend, just getting ready for the next season here.
I know, it's detox season. I'm Kelly and my partner Melody,
Hey.
and we are starting a podcast. It's called Health, Butts, and Gut. We are trying to figure out what's a fad and what actually works as far as health rather than just going to the doctor and getting a pill and just kind of exploring the holistic lifestyle. We're still, taking shots of vodka, but we want to know how to do it and still feel good. It's been a rough road for both Melody and I through the health journeys for both of us on different levels.
Yeah, it's like being realistic about it though, because you can say that you want to do all of these diets and you want to clean your whole life from your kitchen to your toiletries. The reality of life is that's not truly possible. You're always exposed to things, but like Kelly said, how can you find a balance and not feel guilty about it, but slowly change your habit and start reintroducing things, like throw out your face lotions and add in cleaner products.
What led you to be so curious about just amping up your healthy lifestyle?
I've been going to a kinesiologist for a little over a year, so he's helped me through a different lens on health and a different approach, basically through my gut. And I've always been interested in going an alternative route rather than medicine, but it's not to say that medicine is bad. So I would like to, learn both.
So I'm a breast cancer survivor, and before I was diagnosed, I considered myself to be pretty healthy. Like, yeah, I would party on the weekends, but then I was for the most part healthy during the week. And then when I was diagnosed, I felt this pressure to react to my diagnosis and go through my treatments of like chemo, radiation, surgeries, and then be on medications like daily to keep me in remission. And through my journey, I still try to incorporate holistic practices. And now that I'm in remission, I just look at my journey and I'm like, I reacted like that because I had a fear. And I just listened to the Western doctors because I was scared for my life. In my life, I always want to pay it forward and help people out. And we only get better with each other. And it's scary to do it alone. But when you have people that are willing to be vulnerable and explore things and put themselves out there and be like, look, we tried this and this is how it's helpful or how it's not helpful or.
Firsthand experiences, rather than reading a book about Aunt Joni's cousin's friend's grandma, people are coming to us and asking, oh, how was that juice cleanse? How was chemotherapy? How was, going through an abortion? There's a lot of topics that we have to talk about with people and want to share, like Melody said.
We're trying to make this something that's easy to understand. And it's our personalities and it's kind of entertaining. It's raw and it's shocking in some of the topics that we talk about.
So, how did you get this title for your podcast? I love the name.
Well,
it was a long list that we were going through.
it actually, so our we started the podcast based around the coffee enema. When she was going through her chemotherapy, I handed her an enema bucket. And I wasn't shy about it. She was definitely not ready for that. It was a little, right?
Yeah, and also like my doctors were like, no, don't do it. You can get an infection.
Right.
Your immune system's low. And so I literally moved 3 times from when Kelly gave me that bucket. And everywhere I moved, I would move the bucket with me. And then finally, in the last place I moved into, I was like, Cal, just walk me through it, please. And so she did. I had the biggest fear because my bathroom was white, right? And she's like, okay, you got to lay down, put a towel. I'm like, okay, white towel on white floors. Everything's white, white shower curtain. And all I could think of was literally like, not like exploding like shit and coffee everywhere, Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. But she walked me through and it was so simple and it really helped me even after like the first time I did it. I have really bad brain frog, fog, not frog, brain, bang, okay,
Brain
brain
fog.
fog from all the medication and surgeries I had. I had like seven, I think 7 or 9 procedures in 1 year of
Oh
time.
my gosh, Melody.
Yeah.
You've got to detox that. I remember telling her, like, okay, if you put a little piece of toilet paper on your butthole, it will actually help you with retaining the enema. And, you know, like that could, some people could be like, really, why are we talking about that? That's embarrassing. That's, you know, a sacred place, but it's serious. It's something we need to talk about, you know, like we shouldn't be shy about it. We all have one.
Tell me more about like how you felt during and after, Melody, for your first time.
Well, during, it was more of like a challenge because I had a timer and I was watching and I was like, I want to go through to the 15 minutes, you know, and
right.
Like I just set myself up because my mental focus after going through everything was more committed to my health. So even though it was a little uncomfortable or I, you know, at some points through it, like 15 minutes is a long time. A minute is a long time. You know, it was empowering to get to do it and to get through it. And then to see the results and how it really benefited me made me more motivated to continue to do it whenever I'm feeling off or it just like kind of comes into mind. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I even got my sister to do it and she has stage 4 cancer. And she also was kind of scared to do it. And then when she did it, she's like, that really wasn't that bad. Like going back to your question about like the name of our podcast.
Yeah.
It really is like what it's called. We are focusing on like your overall health from your mental, physical, and spiritual health, because all of these things affect, like everything in life affects one of those three. And if one is out of balance, the other two are stressed. So we really are trying to focus on balancing out those three and also focusing a lot on your gut health and then your butt health through like different enemas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can you guys share your ages? I think that's a really important factor of this.
Yeah, I'm 35. Melody?
We're both 35.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I always thought you were like a year older than me.
Yeah.
Because you're a grade older than me.
Yeah, Melody and I went to high school together.
We played water polo and swam together.
Yeah, amazing.
So even back then, we were doing healthy stuff and still partying on the side.
Amen. Well, you were. I was. My parents were a little more, I don't know, like conservative. It's just like, sounds nice, but they're probably like more excessive conservative where I really couldn't do anything other than sports and school.
Melody, I'm so sorry that you have gone through cancer and breast cancer of all things.
Yeah, I was 31. And unfortunately, the doctors I've had in my life knew my family history because my grandma was diagnosed at 41 and she ended up dying at 49 of cancer. And that was like in the early 90s, like late 80s, early 90s. And it was really like traumatic. And just hearing the word cancer just makes you get super scared, you know, and you have these visions of what it did to people. And my doctors never, like when I would tell them, like, oh, my family history, my grandma died, like people don't, you know, like you don't, you're not supposed to die that young. You're not supposed to get diagnosed with that. So, right. And they never educated me on it. And then it wasn't until I was diagnosed at 31, which was 10 years, right, younger than when my grandma was diagnosed at 41. Typically, you are supposed to start getting screened for at least for breast cancer when you're 10 years younger than the youngest person in your family was diagnosed.
Wow.
So yeah. So if my sister hadn't been diagnosed a couple months before me, she actually felt a lump. I don't know when I would have found my cancer.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So that's like another reason why I'm so motivated to educate people and mentor women that are diagnosed and even to be proactive in your health, because you can't really control your genes per se, but you can control your lifestyle and being proactive. And even if you get a diagnosis, the sooner you are diagnosed, obviously the sooner you can hopefully reverse those factors that affect you, you know?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. Our healthcare system is so reactive versus proactive. And, even just like organic foods and, you know, I know it's out there that people know an organic apple is better for you than a non-organic apple, but it's not out there like it should be. And our primary care doctors and conventional medicine don't seem to preach the importance of just what we ingest on a day-to-day basis, let alone being proactive and, you know, screening for cancer and family conditions that run in our genes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any health issues that you're going through?
Myself?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I'm very present to all of this because I have a rare autoimmune spinal disease and I was sick for 12 years before they properly diagnosed me.
Wow.
And it got to the point where I couldn't walk and couldn't even bend my fingers, couldn't stand on my feet because they were so swollen, and finally hobbled into a rheumatologist. And they finally did a blood panel for a rare, you know, rare cases of these autoimmune diseases that would cause such symptoms. And we found out runs in my family. We actually didn't know that my grandma had it, but my grandmother was crippled and quite hunched over. Basically, the main event of the disease is that your spine slowly fuses together over time.
Wow.
Yeah. So
is that painful?
Very painful. It's like one of the most painful versions of, it's in the arthritis family, but it's a very extreme arthritis basically. And it also affects your tendons and your joints. So about 6 years ago, I was just walking at work and my knee popped out of its socket to the back of my leg and I fell to the ground. And that was a sign of this disease, but because, you know, I just basically all the years I was sick, they were crippling symptoms, but they were somewhat invisible to the naked eye. I was always nauseous. I had a headache all the time.
Okay. When you travel, you know, like how do you balance out your bowels, or like, you know, cause you're always like bloated or you're traveling, you can't poop, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we also talk about those days.
Looking good in your bathing suit and not having bloat because you traveled, but you want to look good in that suit.
Yeah. So what do you recommend for that? Because that is something that a lot of women face when traveling or just not being in their normal routine and they don't go to the bathroom and it throws everything off. So what do you guys recommend for that?
So I will like pack prunes, I'll pack apples. Recently I went to Hawaii and I bought this enema bag. And I bought this like compact little like travel tea kettle. And so I just went to the store. I bought hydrogen peroxide. I bought distilled water. And you're supposed to also use like some salt too. And I would do like a enema like flush before I would go out or in the morning. And it really like helped keep me balanced. And it also helped me stay hydrated with all of like the drinking, the different elevations, the food that you don't, you know, normally eat or the exercise you don't normally do.
Right.
And it didn't take up that much room, but it was so helpful because I didn't feel like ghastly or bloated or poochy in like my bikini or my outfits that were, you know, a little bit tighter. That was something that like helps me, you know, and then I do this thing too, where I called Kelly when I was in the airport and I FaceTimed her. I'm like, I'm doing it right now. So I'll like squat kind of like if you see like how a monkey kind of like stands, you know, like I'll squat in front of like a chair and mm-hmm. I'll just go on my phone and I'll like go on Instagram or I'll catch up with emails and texts, and it allows my body to be relaxed in like the right position that you should be like to poop, you know,
your intestines aren't cut off. So basically it's like in the shape of being, you know, when you're squatty potty.
Yeah. But it's like, if you don't have it, you know, and I'll just like, and like people don't know. And like, sometimes if I don't want to get in the conversation, I'll just say, oh, I'm just stretching my back. You know, it's like comfortable, but it really is like helping me to have to go to the bathroom. And yeah. And then like in the hotel, I'll flip the waste basket upside down and use that as like my squatty potty. And like my last trip to Pennsylvania, I packed these like organic pink lemons from my parents' yard. And every morning I would just squeeze it and drink that first.
It's just awesome that she's given me that idea of, you know, being prepared and bringing the whole enema kit with her. It's just genius. Cause like I said, I've had bloat on vacation before and I just, once again, deal with it. And I feel like that's what we do, is just deal with things, but to actually rehydrate yourself and be prepared. It's it's genius. It's, I appreciate you for sharing that with me.
Absolutely.
I'm going to use it.
What I find so hard when traveling is you eat restaurant food all the time and they don't care about what they put in your food like you do, you know, from the spices to the oils to the meats and the different vegetables themselves. But I take a digestive enzyme and that helps me process any carbohydrates, sugars, dairies that a little bit better so that you don't have any gas or bloat or any weird, you know, kind of like, you know, digestive issues. Mm-hmm. And then two, I love celery juice. Is my jam. I love organic celery juice with a little ginger and a little lemon. And that helps me stay so regular. I just, those two things, especially when I get back from a trip or when I get back from a long weekend, I always make a big celery juice. And I find that just like, it really clears my mind and my body. I feel totally different after I've consumed the whole mason jar of it.
Wow. Do you do that on an empty stomach?
I do. I do it in the morning before I eat anything. I take two supplements that I have to take early AM. It's a CoQ10 and a digestive aid. And then I do my celery juice. But you know, when you travel and you have to eat restaurant food, does it bother you as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just meats being cooked in butter or vegetables cooked in butter will destroy me. I don't do the enzymes, but it's a very similar approach. My doctor just has me just do a little shot of like a half shot of apple cider vinegar mm-hmm. and wash it down with water. And that will also get the gut flora going. So it's preparing to be able to break down the foods as well.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's not easy to just bring a bottle of apple cider vinegar, but it's easy to grab it. You know, it's accessible.
Right.
I don't even know if this has a benefit or not. I sometimes I think I know more than I actually do. But when I go to eat at a restaurant, whatever, I'll ask for a hot cup of water with a slice of lemon. Mm-hmm. And it just is like, I don't drink it super hot. I'll just get it and I'll stick the slice of lemon in it. I won't squeeze it. And then I'll just sip on it through dinner. And it, for some reason, it makes me feel like not as bloated and that my food is getting digested. I don't like to drink when I'm eating unless it's like wine or a cocktail. And it's funny because when I do it and I'm with someone that's never seen me do it, but they think I'm like knowledgeable about it. And they're like, oh, I'll have one of those too. Or like, I really don't know why I do this, but.
Hey, you know what? I'm all about like, call me crazy. I do this because I feel good. You know, I'm totally about that. Like there doesn't have to be a rhyme or reason. If you feel good, do you, boo? Because.
Amen.
I put coffee in my butt to feel good and I don't care what anyone thinks about it.
And that's another thing about our podcast too. And just how we are in general is it really is a you do you boo thing because everyone is different and we all have different thresholds within our bodies and even like our mind space. So if Kelly and I are cool with doing an enema, you know, up our butts, where however often, like other people aren't. And my mom was really uncomfortable and embarrassed when I was telling her about this. And she's like, but why? Like, why would you do that? And, you know, people are going to be like so weird. I was like, but mom, see how you're acting? Like, I love you, but the way you're acting is how a lot of people think and feel about this stuff. And if we're able to share it with you and just you having the knowledge about it, you don't even have to do it, right? But just having that knowledge is going to be so much more helpful and you're more sensitive and aware to these things and how your body works than to not even know, you know, and it is just more personal to each body of how much you want to do or how little you want to do, but at least you're getting that education,
mm-hmm. awareness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Information. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's approachable and it's not such a scary topic.
Well, my mom, she has stage 4 lung cancer. I'll tell you about this. She actually, speaking of taboo, she's been doing 2 coffee enemas a day for over a year. And she, when she was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, she declined chemo. She was, you know, that must be where I get it. She wanted to go more holistic. And, you know, she basically was a walking death sentence. And now that it's been a year and a half, not to get gross, but the things that have come out of her body, literally the monsters that have expelled from her. I mean, the tubing, the lining basically from her intestines, like it's been a miracle. And I feel like she's literally pulling these toxins from her body, doing these coffee enemas. And she's, you know, she was not about sticking coffee in her butt. But when you get to that point, like you said, when you're too late, you're willing to try everything. So
are there any other practices that she swears by? Or
so she does 2 coffee enemas a day. And she also has a cold pressed green juice, but she has knocked out dairy and any processed foods. So she basically eats about 80% organic diet with completely gluten-free, dairy-free.
Yes. So
lots of fruits and vegetables and a little bit of meat.
Right. So no gluten either. So dairy-free and gluten-free.
I think it has to do with inflammation and being on a low inflammation diet. She also has to watch nightshades. Right. Which all of this, you know, it seems very overwhelming, especially once you get to stage 4, you know, when you have to completely change everything in your diet, everything in your lifestyle,
right?
It's overwhelming. You know, she had to take out everything.
For those listening who don't know nightshades, like even tomatoes, eggplants, mushrooms, those are all nightshades. So no tomatoes, no gluten. Spaghetti is just totally out of the picture. Our main meals that we normally have. So it's a big shift.
It's a huge shift. And shopping and trying to even, you know, labels, trying to find, okay, well, what is this? Can I have this? Can I not? It was exhausting. It was exhausting for my dad too, to try and understand my mom's diet when she was too weak to go shopping.
Yes.
You know, but when you just got to keep trying. And the big thing is, you know, if she would be exposed to dairy, you know, she'd be sick for a couple of days, but it wasn't, you know, don't give up. You got to keep going. Like, you make the mistake and keep detoxing till you get it out.
Right.
That aligns with like your mind space, because like I've tried to do like diets a long time ago. Right. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it because I want to lose weight. But then like, it would be so hard to finish it versus now when I do something, I'm like, okay, I understand why I'm doing it. I understand the benefits and then like the results that I'm trying to achieve. And I'm mentally prepared myself and I have peace with it versus doing it so stressed out.
You're which right.
The stress part of our lives, especially as a society and especially in America, is really a huge factor that affects our health. And like, you can eat the cleanest things, you can buy the most expensive organic stuff, but if your body is not functioning properly, if your intestines are not like sludge free and those pockets within each groove of your intestines isn't open to absorb these nutritious things, you can eat like probably like something that's gold to your body and you won't get the benefits of it. And if your acids in your stomach are off, that's the same thing. It's not going to break those foods down to get to your intestines, to get through your liver. Like all of those things people don't realize. They just think, oh, I'm going to drink this juice or I'm going to eat this food. And there's a lot of foundational things that people have to realize, you know, are functioning correctly, that your mind space is ready for that, and that you have peace doing these things. A lot of people I spoke to, and even myself personally, my sister, and looking back at like our family history of people that have had any sort of chronic illness, like stress was hovering over us. It was seeping in our lives. And we're like, okay, we might have had these toxins in our body. We might have had these cancers or tumors, but what really tripped them off was the stress that was present.
Mm-hmm. And you made such a good point about the diet and, you know, not being able to follow through. I think every woman can relate to that and going, okay, I'm going to go on this diet, but it's held to nothing other than weight loss. Instead, really studying and creating a diet for you that will help you feel your best. I know I can sit with my husband while he has a beer and a cheeseburger, and yes, I will salivate, but I won't even have one bite. I will enjoy my salad with lemon and olive oil salad dressing, just knowing I'm going to feel okay the rest of the day versus down and out.
Yeah, that's what's going to get you out of bed.
Right.
You know, exactly. Like you have to make those decisions like, okay, I can have a bite of that burger, but then right. I'm out for 2 days after. Like, is it worth it?
Right. Right.
Yeah. And it's not like an extreme thing where, like those diets, you do it for however many days or weeks. And then afterwards, you're like falling off of that wagon and you're literally like tumbling off. It's not right. like, okay, you stepped off. It's like you end up gaining most of that weight back. You end up going back to those old habits versus building better habits and making it your like lifestyle yes. and feeling confident about it. Because I feel like a lot of people that can't do what you're doing and make those changes in their lives make you feel insecure and stupid for what you're doing. And they peer pressure you to not do it and to like do what they're doing. And then it just makes it even harder to create that balance in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I notice even I'll have like a sip of wine and I'll start to feel tingling in my fingers and not feel well, but I've found that I drink mezcal, mm-hmm. any of the hard seltzers, like the really nice ones, the gluten-free ones, or tequila. Those are kind of my cornerstones to have a good time and not feel terrible afterwards. But do you guys have any drinks of choice or what do you prefer to drink when you're having a good time?
I'm with you. I do tequila and mezcal too. And it's funny because one of my doctors I had actually told me that. She's like, if you're going to drink any alcohol, do tequila. I'm like, awesome. Doctor's orders coming right up. You know.
I actually started like 6 months ago, I'd say maybe a little longer. I'll do a tequila shot and then I drink iced tea. Because I tend to overdrink, I tend to over party and over socialize. So, like I said, trying
you don't
to feel,
say, Kelly.
You know, you know, so balance. It's difficult. So I'm like, okay, how do I drink? And you know, people say, oh, have water in between. You can't tell drunk Kelly have a water. I'm like, no. You want a shot of tequila with me? So to have something in my hand has really, really, really helped. And so I'll do literally iced tea. And whenever someone decides like, hey, let's have a drink, then I'm like, okay, we'll take a shot of tequila.
Right.
And that's helped a lot for me. It's been fun.
And do you drink caffeine teas or do you do herbal?
Well, usually if we're out, I mean, you have black tea, which
right.
Melody's teaching me all about black tea. And that's a whole nother, I mean, this is literally the tip of the iceberg with health. Cause even iced tea, when I thought it was super healthy, you know, you have to be careful of the bag being bleached. And if it's like organic tea bags,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, once again, balancing, here we go again. I try to get, you know, black tea and if not, it's lemon water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, I think I'm addicted to coffee, not through my butt, but through my mouth. And like every day I'm like, okay, this is my last cup of coffee in the morning. And then I end up getting one in like the afternoon or making one. Coffee is the caffeine that I have in my life. Just try not to feel guilty. You know, I think guilt also just for me, at least, I feel like if I ever make myself feel guilty about what I eat or drink, I feel it and see it in my body. I really don't give my guilt value with the food. I just eat it. And I'm like, you know what? It's temporary. I'm going to enjoy it. And like, I'm going to deal with the consequences later, but I'm not going to overwhelm myself and feel bad and beat myself up about it because I feel like that makes my body hold on to it too.
Absolutely. No, guilt is a form of stress for sure.
Yeah.
I've just somehow finally found a way to just sit with my husband while he enjoys all those treats and snacks. And I have, you know, a Pellegrino and literally don't eat a bite, but you know, I have all my treats and things at home, all my organic plantain chips and all my fun stuff that I can have. It's been a journey to replace those habits with just new, healthier thoughts about it. So I can still enjoy and live my life fully and not feel like I'm missing out on things.
Yeah. Okay, question. This is so bad, but have you ever wanted to just like take a bite of the burger, chew it up, and then spit it out?
Absolutely.
Because I totally do that sometimes. I'm like, I really want that chocolate, so I'll eat it and then I'll spit it out.
Oh my gosh. So many times. I just thought last night I wanted to knock the fork out of my husband's hand and eat the bowl of spaghetti he was eating, but and chew it up and not swallow it. But then I think, you know, hey, this is kind of like on a molecular level, so I can't even touch it, you know?
Yeah.
I actually got takeout from Urban Plates and I ordered a salmon dish and some steamed vegetables and let them know I had a gluten dairy allergy. They somehow got a mix up in the kitchen, and which happens all the time. But anyways, they put bread on my to-go plate and I just lifted it off my salmon and put it to the side and figured, okay, it's not mixed in, I'll be fine. I was sick the rest of the night from just the bread touching the salmon. Or some contamination in the kitchen, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's like when you tell them no onions, they put extra or something like that, you know?
Totally. Or a loogie. It's just tough eating at a restaurant when you're on such a strict diet for health conditions.
Being on such a strict diet, do you ever set yourself up to fail successfully? Like you just said, you were out of town for basically the month. It's like, did you know that you would have all your food, all your drinks, everything prepared? Or do you have like a little kind of rule of thumb of like, okay, I have, you know, the dirty dozen.
I see a functional medicine doctor and he said, you know, try things once and see how, you know, in a setting where you're not having five different things outside of your, you know, your limitations, but one, so that you really can test it to see how your body does. And if you respond fine, then you know your body is accepting it and you can digest it properly and you can reintroduce it to your diet. But if you do not, and you're sick for that evening or day or, you know, day or two, then, you know, don't do it again. It's not worth the stress that it puts on your body.
I have you to personally thank for sweet potato chips. You've opened my mind on sweet potatoes. So.
Oh yeah. That's one of the only ways I can eat them. They get a little too sweet. And like if you just made it like a mashed potato, I can't really do it anymore. At the beginning, it was all I was eating.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to share the recipe on our website, because any recipes you can share with us, absolutely, because we're always looking for fun, good, healthy options.
Yes. And the secret to those is the air fryer. The oven just takes too long. So the air fryer gets you the perfect chip. Mm.
Do you season them with anything?
I do. I mix it up. Sometimes I just do a little sea salt and then I'll do a little pepper after they've cooked, because pepper burns. Or I'll do like a turmeric salt, and I'll do, because the turmeric is so good for inflammation. And sometimes I'll do Herbes de Provence and salt.
Ooh, that sounds so fancy.
It's delicious. It's just a way of saying all these yummy herbs.
Little bottle of goodness.
One little bottle of goodness, exactly. And I get all my herbs from Mountain Rose Organics. So, and it's actually, this is another awesome little plug for them. But it's all organic. They source from all over the world. So you'll get, you know, your hibiscus flowers from India or wherever they're best grown, et cetera. And
what's it called? Mountain Rose?
Mountain Rose Herbs.
Rose like the flower?
Rose like the flower. Mountain Rose Herbs. And I think it's just even Mountain Rose, but you can Google it. And at first I didn't know what to expect, you know, oh my gosh, is it going to be like an arm and a leg? And so I told my husband, who's really the chef of the house, put everything in your cart that you would want from Mountain Rose, and then we'll take a look at it and pare down if we need to. And he put everything in there, even ashwagandha and like some really, you know, exotic things. And the tab was $103, and we ordered everything. So I was like, oh yeah, place that order. That's amazing. So now we only use that, because there are additives just in, you know, any store-bought spices. They don't even have to put it on the label, but they put things in there to keep it from getting condensation. So there's even additives in the most organic of spices that you would buy in the stores. And Mountain Rose does not put anything.
And there's even organic additives. So even though it says organic, or organic like pesticides. So they'll say like, oh, it's organic, but the pesticides are organic. So that's how to get away. It's like labels are, there should just be a whole class on just labels alone.
I agree. I know, it's crazy.
Oh, I'm eating this thing and the label says that, or it's coming from this place and it really is not what you think
That's
you're eating.
That's why you always have to be ready to pivot, because you think you're doing the best you can and then you're going to find out something else is thrown under the rug.
I know.
It kind of reminds me of this thing that my dad would tell me when I'd go shopping. And he's like, and it wasn't even with his money. Okay, it was my own money. And he goes, but do you need it? And I'm like, yeah, dad. He goes, okay, you're going to have to ask yourself this 3 times when you're about to buy something. Do I need it? And if you're like, mean, say, but do I really need it? And then if you're still not convincing yourself, just be like, okay, well, if I don't have it tomorrow, right? Like how much different will my life be? How can I not like function without it? And I was like, but it's a really cute pair of shoes.
But or it's a really good hamburger.
Yeah. But I think like having that mindset too is like, it's not the end of the world if I don't have it.
Right.
You know, like I've had it before and I know what it tastes like, or I know what it feels like. Then sometimes that might like help you not be so bummed out about it. You know, you have to make a different choice.
Absolutely. I'm all about the simplicity model these days after the pandemic and after just looking at landfills and looking at the waste in our oceans. It's just sick to me, like the single-use plastics and the way we all just bulldoze through like wasting and wasting and wasting. I just can't even, sometimes it takes, you know, it adds stress to my life. I can't even think about it. So I try to, as much as possible, just go without as much as possible. And when I do buy something, it's something that will last. That's what I really preach with the business with Beach Candy, is making things that last. If I was just another fast fashion company, I think I would have offed myself a long time ago. I just can't fathom making things or you know, just contributing to the more waste in the world.
And that's kind of, that was like my one question that I had for you. And just with us doing like Health Butts and Guts, like how do you go about with having the fast fashion industry and, you know, having everything come from China quickly, you know, these $10, how do you even compete with these $10 suits? You know, like, I mean, I know the feeling. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, what's been difficult is conveying that over, because we were a storefront for almost 10 years, our first 10 years in business. And so we could convey that to the customer just by them reaching out and grabbing the product. And they're like, oh, that's so thick. That's so nice. I know that's going to be supportive. I can't wait to try it on. And then they would try it on and it was like a whole love affair and a loyal Beach Candy babe was born, you know. But now we have just a screen to convey that message to women. And so it's been a challenge to photograph it in a way and to write copy and marketing messaging in a way where women understand this is not more of the same. It's made in America. It's beaded even in America. It's made with, you know, Swarovski crystals or real stones that are biodegradable or natural. And then they're built to last a lifetime if you care for them properly. And we have even a beading guarantee. So if anything happens to the beading, we'll fix the beading and send it back to you. That way it doesn't end up in a landfill and waste. It just drives me nuts that women are subjected to such compromise in such a psychological experience wearing a swimsuit, first of all. And then when you're wearing one that doesn't make you feel your best, it's such a bummer to take this nice trip to sit by this beautiful pool and not feel your absolute best. I'm a huge stickler for quality swimsuits.
Oh my gosh, it's huge. I've brought in a couple of your suits to Mexico a few times and I feel classier. You know, I go to party, but I look good. I feel good.
Yeah.
I know it's not going to break on me. And I'm guilty. I have some of those, you know, cheaper bathing suits, but I probably have now like 6 Beach Candy suits of my own. And literally it lifts my butt. The feeling that it gives you, it's just so, I thank you for that. Cause it's very important, not just the feeling, but how you're conscious as well.
And you do look absolutely stunning in your Beach Candy suits. And what's cool is I know you take them down to Mexico with your party crew and you have a great time. You don't have to worry about fixing or adjusting or doing anything because you're just looking fabulous the whole time. And that's what I love about it is, you know, it does everything for you. I always see women, you know, adjusting their suits constantly, fixing the ties around their neck or pulling the tummy up higher so that they're covered where they want to be covered or pulling the bottoms back out of their butt or all these things. And it's just, that's just a sign that your swimsuit sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I think I was the only one on the yacht not adjusting. I'm like, oh no, my everything's tucked in nicely. It's I didn't mean to brag, but hey, it fit. It was perfect.
Melody, we'll have to get you in a beach candy suit.
I know, please. I'm like wanting to go online and find one right now. Like, how do I get this? More and more, the older I get and the more like conscientious I am of things, I would rather spend my money on something of quality that actually fits me and does like gives me the feeling that I want. And I know I can have it over time. It's like a classic piece. Than to sit and buy like 10 different ones and not feel good about them. And then they like, you know, they're just a one-time shot of wearing it. For me, at least, I did become a little bit more self-conscious about my body, not just like my chest, but like other places I had to have surgery too.
Yeah, do you have a scar too? On
your chest? So like I have a scar from my portacath that I've had to have revised a couple times. My chest scars, like from my double mastectomy, they're under like the crease of my breast. Yeah, so you don't really see it unless you're like naked or you're wearing one of those like tops that gives you the under boob look.
Or a bathing suit that doesn't hug you right when you lift your arms, the bathing suit lifts up.
Yeah.
You did have a good doctor. That's amazing. That's so great to hear because I've seen so many different, you know, bodies over the years. And sometimes doctors really don't think about this woman wants to have a normal life, wear swimsuits, everything afterwards, because I've seen some scarring and some, you know, just injection site or, you know, surgery sites where they just didn't use clean lines and, or even C-section scars. And, you know, some women have it nice and low and it's like 2 inches, very, very low, you know, below any panty or swimsuit line. And I've seen other women where it's like, they did the sign of the cross from the navel down and the other way. And I'm like, how can this exist where one is this way and the other is this way? I've never, you know. It's just so crazy.
Yeah. It's so important to be an advocate for yourself and to, you know, take that extra time, even though you think you don't have it, to really like get the right doctors or understand that. And, you know, there is this thought process, right? Like embrace your scars and embrace your body and you're beautiful and all those things. But it's like, but if you have some kind of a choice or control, like exactly. If you can get it done a little bit better, then it's, you know, it does help your mental health in that part of things. But yeah. And I think too, it's like, we just want that instant gratification in our world and in our life. And we're just so focused on moving so fast and comparing ourselves to other people and what we think is like a cookie cutter perfection or level that everyone has to be in. And it's just unfortunate that people don't have more confident within themselves to be like, I am different and that's okay. And that's actually beautiful. And that's good.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that things like your bathing suits enhance that and not try to take away from it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, we love girls.
You, girl.
Thank you so much for being on our podcast today. And for those who want to check out your podcast, how do they search it?
So it's Health, Butts, and Guts. And it's on like any podcast platform, YouTube, Instagram.
Thank you so much for having us.